It's another Friday, and that means another episode of the Zogby Report, real and unscripted. I'm John Zogby, and as always, I'm here with my son, Jeremy. We're going to take a look at the news of the day. That means politics, of course, and then maybe go beyond some politics and peer into the future a little bit. Good morning, Jer. How are you this week?
Good, good, good. How about you?
I'm okay. And I watched the debate, and I've got a lot of thoughts about the debate and about where this presidential race stands. So I'd like to get going. Okay, good. So, yes, it was a much more subdued Donald Trump and a much more subdued debate last night. I think a lot of us were expecting, the president to come out with boxing gloves and to just hammer Joe Biden on Hunter and about his connections with Burisma and China and so on. The president did, but interestingly, the president pulled some punches and backed off as well, and probably saw that maybe it wasn't connecting. It was probably well advised to lay off too much of that and talk a bit more about what he's done, what his vision has done. I think the star of the night was Kristen Welker. I thought she did a marvelous job reining the debate in, and I think the winner, were the viewers. I actually thought that the president should have been doing this actually the entire year, and being less aggressive and much more pointed about who he is and what he's done. The vice president, the bar was low. He made the bar and I think surpassed the bar. He was clear. I mean, there were times when he may have stumbled, but all of us have our foibles. The important thing is that the vice president came out leading, and just needed to make sure that there were no runs, no hits, no errors, and there weren't really any, nothing, of course, that would make for a headline today. So where do we stand in the race? I have told you before that I'm watching the Investor's Business Daily poll, TIPP, among the best in the business. I also watch Emerson College and Trafalgar, Rasmussen, and of course ours. And basically, we're all bunched together and showing this to be a much closer race than a number of the other mainstream pollsters are showing. IBD, Investors Business Daily, right now has it at a 4 or 5 point race. It had gone down to 2 or 3 a couple of days ago. I think by and large, what we're seeing is that the president has and continues to consolidate his base. Well over 90% of Republicans, well over 90% of conservatives that support him. He's doing well with white voters overall, picking up among older voters, has consolidated and won solidly the support of evangelical voters. Where he goes from there, I don't know, but I'm going to break a little bit of news today in analyzing. Biden is at 49.50%. There's a huge difference between 49% and 50%. And Biden needs to hold steady and be closer to 50%. How does Trump win this? That's a key question. I'm going to use a metaphor. The metaphor is that suppose you have a severely blocked artery, a very little path flow for the blood to get through. I think that that's where the president is today. However, it is possible to find a narrow path for the blood to flow through that even severely blocked artery. I think that's where the president stands today. Frankly, 4 years ago to this minute, that's where Donald Trump stood against Hillary Clinton, and there was, as we saw, a path to victory. Where is Donald Trump's? Well, we, of course, are looking at the battleground states. If the nationwide polling is at 3 or 4% differential between Biden and Trump, that's about where it was, maybe a little more edge to Joe Biden than Hillary Clinton had. But I'm looking at the battleground states, and Joe Biden has not put them away yet. Just when you see a 5 or 6 point lead in Pennsylvania, another poll comes out with a 2 or 3 point lead. Same with Michigan, same with Florida, same with Wisconsin, and so on. And so how does Trump win this? I think two things. One is he visits and consolidates his support in those battleground states. The second is something that no one else has talked about. And here's the news. Joe Jorgensen, in a four-way race, the Libertarian candidate is polling 3 percentage points. What we're looking at is that one of those three votes that go to Joe Jorgensen would go to Donald Trump. And so if this race turns out to be razor thin, and about a third of those Jorgensen supporters say, hey, this is too risky, I don't want Joe Biden to win, and they switch over to Donald Trump, that could be the moral equivalent of those last-minute voters in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, that ultimately put Donald Trump over the top. Edge to Joe Biden at this point. Hard to see him losing, but if he does, that's how it happens. What do you think, Jer?
Well, I say we call it a wrap. That was pretty good. I think that's all accurate, and that's all laid out wonderfully. What I would just add is going back to the beginning of what we were talking about with the debate. Both performed well. I've looked at the different headlines this morning, and of course it's all over the place, but by my estimation, it was a tie. I would say, you know, and you pointed out there were moments that Biden stumbled. I noticed that was more so towards the end, especially in the last 10 to 15 minutes. I do have the sense that if the debate went on another 30 minutes, I do think it could have started to unravel for Biden. But, you know, there's never 100% certainty on how to predict those things. It was just a noticeable trend that in the last 10 minutes you saw a little bit more confusion and stumbling, especially in the key moment on the talk about energy, renewable energy and fracking. The Hunter Biden angle and Donald Trump, you know, the expectations of him coming out swinging. I went into the debate feeling that Trump had to do the exact opposite of what he did the first time. He got a lot of flack for being too aggressive and you know, coming off as talking over people and looking, you know, as if he wasn't following the rules of the debate. So he couldn't continue that. And so he was much more reserved than maybe what a lot of people expected. Regarding the Hunter Biden story, I see this as perhaps the October surprise. Again, you know, as I keep saying it, there are going to be multiple. You're going to see that rolled out over the next couple weeks. I do think that this is probably going to be further released aspects of it. And then, of course, from the Democratic side with counters, you know, we already saw that with Borat and Rudy Giuliani. So Giuliani is the man, you know, who has the documents, who has released them to the Delaware State Police. And, you know, now we're expecting, oh, maybe there's going to be an investigation. But then you know, there comes just in time this footage or video of Giuliani and some perverted business. And of course, he's all over Twitter saying that it's doctored up. And this is just the beginning. I mean, just wait for the fireworks, that this is only going to intensify and more angles explored and new things. Remember, yesterday was also the release of the deposition of Ghislaine Maxwell. And I only saw a few outlets in the news that picked it up. And as her defense predicted, the release of the making public of the deposition, as her defense said, would look damning, would look to make her appear guilty. I read some of the details, and there's a lot of vagueness in her answers and evading of the questions. So I wonder, and I'm speculating, maybe those two stories, are eventually converge at some point, and there's accusations of a connection. We saw something kind of similar back in 2016. So I do see a repeat of an intense rollout of bombshell stories. Where from here? Where else to go? You know, Dad, you were talking about how does Trump win? You look at Pennsylvania, you look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and you're absolutely right. Just when you think there's a direction moving towards one candidate, a poll comes out and contradicts that. We just don't know. So, what can Trump do? Well, yesterday we came out with our 10th issue of the Main Street K Street Intelligencer. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, I think this captures the soul of America. I think this captures where we are exactly at this moment. Again, that could all change. That could change in 2 weeks. But the title is The State of the American Dream. And we probe with questions about the American dream. You know, is it alive? Is it in a coma? Or is it dead? 53% of Americans say that it's presently in a coma. We then follow up with those who answered that it's in a coma. And it's split. About 40% say it's going to come back. About 43% say they're just not sure. I go through a sequence of orderly questions, ultimately deriving at this last question. And it is, how best is the American dream to be strengthened or revived? Do we need a great reset followed by an entirely new system to reinvigorate the American dream? Or do we revisit the age-old principles of the past that have already been written? And what you see there in this question is the vast majority of Republicans say revisit age-old presidents. The vast majority of Democrats say we need a great reset, and we need to go towards a new way, a new system of things. Comes down to the independents, where 48% align and go with the notion of revisiting age-old principles. And to me, that what that signals is the equivalent of basically a coalition of just enough independents and the Republicans, who at the end of the day appear to be taking their stand, taking the ground, and saying, we don't want to go forth with this great reset. We don't want to go forth with this new order. There's too much anxiety. And I think right now that signals to something promising for Trump, where it looks like it's in his favor if he hits the ground running in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and carries something to the effect of that message. But that's where we are today. Who knows what happens in 2 weeks?
We don't. But, to add just further perspective to this, at this point in time, all of the polls show 3% are undecided. That is an extremely low number of undecideds. Generally, at this point, we'll have 7 or 8% undecided. And on top of that, normally have another 10 or 12% who say, I can change my mind. This time around, we have 3% undecided and virtually no one saying, I could change my mind. Donald Trump is locked in at this point with 94% support among Republicans. Joe Biden is locked in at this point with 91% of Democrats. That's as good as it's going to get or can get for each presidential candidate. Of course, it's the undecided. It's the independents. They have 12% who are undecided. I think they've probably made up their minds that I don't like either of these guys. So the real issue is going to be, are they going to vote? And no way of knowing which one they're going to vote for. Watching last night, it was really hard to see where either candidate had a knockout blow against the other or was able to project a credibility or a character that could be compelling at this point in the campaign. And so as we head into next week, a reminder that, number one, take a look at the Intelligencer. What Jeremy has just laid out is in the Intelligencer. It's on our website, johnzogbystrategies.com, and I think it's brilliant. And then secondly, an invitation to you to attend our town hall meeting, which is Monday, day before the election, at noon, in which case Jeremy and I will be releasing live, actually, the results of a poll that we are taking the night before. That would be Sunday night. Those will be our final results and our final poll analysis prior to the election. And Jer, why don't you walk people through as to how they can sign up, because we have limited seats.
Yeah, we're only taking 50 registrants. And so I have a link. It's kind of behind the scenes on our website. You can't actually find it on the front end. It's more residing in the back end. So if this is something you haven't registered for already, and you're interested, you've got the time Monday at noon, from noon till one, to hear the latest of, you know, basically what's going to happen the next day. Reach out to me, jeremy@johnzogbystrategies.com. I have the link. I'll send it to you. You just need to fill out a few boxes, and you'll be registered. If for some reason you go to the registration and there are no seats available, we will be streaming this live on YouTube. It won't be available until the moment it goes live, which is Monday, November 2nd at noon. That you can find on our website. So those are the two ways that you can watch us. Just remember that if you register, you can participate in the Q&A. If you watch it from YouTube, you won't be able to because we won't have that chat box available. Thank you for pointing out the encouraging people to read issue number 10. I have to say, the way I wrote it was much more well laid out than the way that I delivered it verbally, because I contemplated quite a bit. You'll see that there's some family history involved, not just specific to our family, but really anybody who's in touch with their past, with their family history, with their immigrant background. So that's the hook, and it tells the story quite well. Anyway, that's about it from me. Anything else, Dad? Anything else you want to, any wisdom you want to bestow on our listeners before we part ways?
I'm wisdomed out, and another nice podcast, another good time with you, and we'll see everybody next week as the countdown to the goal line begins. Thank you, and have a good week, everybody.